So we need a $100,000 deposit. So what the parental guarantee does is essentially say the bank will put a mortgage on the parents' property of $100,000. And then if the kids can't pay,
you're listening to My Millennial Money. It's the podcast where everyone knows what they're doing, except for me. And now, over to Erin, John, and Glenn.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
How you going?
I'm good. How are you?
So I was worried we'd have to restart that because Erin was too busy laughing. So, My Millennial Money. Okay, so what we have set out to do is help people in turn so we can help ourselves because we clearly need it. So what we're going to do is I've got a question that a client sent to me, and we're going to have a bit of a chat about it and see if we can help Luke. So I'll read the question out. I'll read it in context just so people, you know, get the vibe for it. How's things going? I've been keeping up with your posts. Always good information. Naomi's finished work and now we're waiting for baby's arrival any day now. Aww. We've been sticking to our budget and it's working well. Recently, I've moved things around, so we're now living off just my income and still saving. So I've got a couple of questions in regard to buying our first home one day. Number one, how do I roughly work out what's a good amount I can afford to borrow? And number two, what's the deal with parental guarantors in relation to a home loan? So I think, John, can you say something intelligent?
Hopefully I can give you something, Glenn.
So let's start, I guess, with parental guarantors. Let's start with how do I roughly work out what's a good amount that that Luke could borrow?
Yeah, look, in brief, I suppose he needs to work out what market he's going to be buying in and what type of property to determine what purchase price that will be, which then working his way back then calculates his deposit and whether that's going to be a 10% or 20% deposit, etc. So, in short.
Yeah, so basically we need to work out having some intention where we're going to borrow, well, where we're going to buy, so we can then work out how much to borrow.
Yeah.
So, and I guess, do you think it's different if, because you guys both own property, like, did you both buy investment properties first or homes to live in?
Home to live in first.
All right. Why was that? Why? Sorry.
Because I needed a house to live in.
Yeah.
It was the only one left.
That's right.
Yeah, but were you like, oh, I want to have this, I want the white picket fence, I want to start a family, I can't.
Well, no, we already had a family.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, scandal.
Yes, yeah, scandalous.
Yeah. So you just like, it was just, so it was an organic thing for you just to go, okay, we don't want to buy a house.
Yep.
Yep, sweet.
Yep.
And so, John, like with some of the clients that you coach, would you say the question is, well, do you want to live in a house first or buy it as an investment property?
Yeah, a lot of clients that come to me have already got their home that they own and live in. I suppose the more aggressive ones might have investment properties, but haven't got their own home yet.
Right.
Because they've structured things a bit differently. But yeah, personally for me, it was investment properties first.
Yeah. So do you think it's wise? Like I often tell people, it's like before you worry about even looking, try and at least just save 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the more money that you have to put down, the cheaper things will be.
Yeah.
So it's a non-brainer. Like it's a no-brainer. So, Erin, when you purchased your home, did you guys have a deposit?
No, we didn't. We used a parental guarantee.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's we'll segue into that. You didn't know we were going to ask personal questions.
I didn't know you were going to ask personal questions.
Well, there we have it. But I guess I think the first thing that anyone should do is try and save at least 30 grand to at least get an appointment with a good mortgage broker, and then make sure your debts. Hear that dog? That's the dog next door.
It is.
Yeah, this isn't a professional studio. It's a professional house.
They can hear the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're just loving life. So, in terms of parental guarantor, I always try and tell people to avoid it like the plague, because
it's... And is that because of problems that might arise?
Yeah. totally.
Okay.
So this client that I was just dealing with, they had the parental guarantor. It's all good. Mm. A couple of years ago when the parents offered to give them their house as a guarantee on the new mortgage,
yep,
it was all fun and games. But now the parents' situation has changed.
Okay, and now they can't.
Yeah, and now they want to release the
kids.
They want
that released.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's absolute chaos. And what it does, it causes a rift in the relationship.
Yeah.
Particularly for the for maybe the son or daughter-in-law more so.
Yeah.
Because it's your spouse's parents.
Yeah.
And you just really want to steer clear of all that stuff.
And have they got the ability to fund it by themselves now?
Yes, they do. But the problem is, or the possible problem could be, what if they didn't have any money to refinance the home?
Yeah.
What if the house was worth less?
Yep.
It's gone down,
yeah,
baby.
So, and this is the conversation I like to keep having with people. It's like society tells us that to be successful, we have to buy a house to live in.
Mm.
So what's wrong with renting and doing our investment elsewhere?
Yeah.
On the side.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the parental guarantee as long as the rules are established from the start. Like if they know the pros and cons of doing that and mum and dad know that it could be 5 years, 10 years before they get their money back.
Yeah.
And it's not a Band-Aid effect for just buying a home without having their cash flow in order for a start.
Do you reckon it would be cool to, like, and it's so formal that people would not do it, like get all the parties at a table, get a third party, even if it was, I don't know, a trusted friend or something, just to facilitate a conversation, or even there might not need to be a third party. It's like, okay, what, let's agree if we're going to do this, what are the time frames of notice period?
Yep.
So, for example, instead of the parents just knocking on the door, hey, we want our deposit back, essentially, and put all this panic everywhere, can we all agree that, hey, there's going to be 6 months' notice or it's not worth doing?
But then I think, you know, in the situation that you're talking about, they're only doing it because they have to.
Yeah, that's
right. And they might not have 6 months' notice or 6 months to wait.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess if there's, like, for example, one of the parents died or something crazy happened. Yeah that
and
I
they need
right.
to call on that money.
Yeah.
You generally aren't going to have that sort of time to. But no, definitely, you should all sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the thing is, like, if the property values have increased, yes, the parental guarantor may have saved $15,000 of mortgage insurance at the start, and then a couple of years later refinance, you still may have to pay $5,000 of mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
So it has worked out financially, but
yeah,
I guess the conservative side of me is one to steer clear of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would probably, if they were a client, I'd sit down and say, well, what market are you trying to get into? And based on your savings plan, how long will it take you to get into that market?
Yeah.
Because it's that whole argument of, if it takes me 2 years to save, but the market that I'm wanting to buy in goes up 15%,
you've
then
got that opportunity
I'm
cost.
Still chasing my tail.
Yeah.
So that's where a parental guarantee can work very well.
Yeah.
But
what if you if you used parental guarantee for your home where you want to live, that might not be as flexible as using a parental guarantee for an investment property in a market that you can increase the value sooner than where you want it to live.
Yeah, yeah. I'm dealing with a client at the moment that's using one, and it's almost like their culture is, it's our family's wealth. So it's whether it's mum, dad, or son investing, it's for our greater good of the family. So, it depends on a.
But again, the conservative side of me is like, that's all well and good. What if mum and dad get sick and we need $100,000 for medical expenses?
Yeah, so the options and the discussion at the start that you mentioned there has got to be, well, the 12 months or 2 years or whatever the time frame may be, we may need to sell that property as a fire sale, worst case, to get our money back in the event.
So what I'll do, I guess the simplest way of explaining what a parental guarantee is, if we had two homes that were worth $500,000, the parents' home was worth $500,000, the home that the kids wanted to buy was worth $500,000. We may need a 20% deposit, which is $100,000. And that's just impossible to save, right? It's not happening. Unless you guys are rich, are you?
Totally.
from all the Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's a millennial podcast and we haven't talked about Bitcoin. So we need a $100,000 deposit. So what the parental guarantee does is essentially say the bank will put a mortgage on the parent's property of $100,000. And then if the kids can't pay the mortgage and the house has decreased in value and the bank sell it and they're 50 grand short, the bank will come after the parents for up to 50 grand or up to $100,000.
Yep.
So that's the risk. If parental guarantee, if you get fired and you can't afford to pay your mortgage, can your parents confidently, because their name is on your house and are taking some responsibility, can they get you out of hot water? So I guess this is why I like having these discussions, because John, you and myself probably deviate a little bit from our opinions on this.
That's great, isn't it?
But I'm right.
According to Glenn.
It's your podcast. Right. You're always
it's
right.
It's our podcast, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Jeez. But thanks.
Yeah. But I think another alternative to that is the parents release the equity from their principal place and gift that equity to the son or daughter, and the son and daughter go and get the loan themselves. So the property is actually in their name.
Completely,
And then they have a payment plan back to their parents.
Yeah, which could all be cool. And it's like anything, before you just go out and do something dumb, get some advice, talk to some different people, and just be well-informed before you make the decision. So there you have it. I guess parental guarantee, it is a viable option. But swinging back around to the start of that question of how much we should borrow, my rule of thumb is whether you're renting or purchasing a house to buy to live in, would be do not have more than 30% of your net take-home income in mortgage repayments or rent. Ideally, under 25 is good. 20% is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any view on that?
My only variation to that view would be if they're a business owner and their turnover and varies for tax reasons and things like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, agree.
Yeah.
For the first time.
So, for example, You heard it here first. John and I agreed. You agreed with me when I said come to China with me.
True. You must have been paying.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, remember. So
when are we going again?
It's Singapore and it's next year.
Yeah. Maybe we can do the podcast live from Singapore.
Hey, I'm going. Hey, what are you guys doing in August?
We can go for
nothing now.
No, let's go to America. I'm going to the States to a conference. We should all go.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I'm actually thinking, I shouldn't think out loud publicly. This is really embarrassing.
Please do it.
Oh, I'm thinking get a social media person, like a videographer, just to follow me
us.
And film stuff.
Us or me.
Us, because we're all going.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess if you earn round numbers $1,000 a week into your bank account, you would not want your rent or mortgage repayment to be more than $300. And you can work that out if you've got a partner or a spouse. Is there a difference in legal terms? It's probably the same.
Don't think so.
Yeah. Erin's a lawyer. She's really smart.
She did more years
of
study
right.
than us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she'll sue us.
If you get your terminologies wrong.
Yeah. And it's not, it's a statement of claim, isn't it? When you sue somebody, I'm putting in a statement of claim. Yeah, that's the actual term. Yeah.
Let's not go into legal advice on this podcast.
So there you have it. Now, another important issue that I wanted to discuss, and thanks, Luke, for sending in your question. If anyone has any questions, just jump on the website.
Can I just say, though, in spite of all your negative comments about it, like for us, it's worked really well.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think it's been great.
But you guys are like Woodstock, living free, it's all good. Yeah, I'm like scared and conservative on everything I do.
Yeah.
And that's why I have people like you in my world to challenge me.
And a lot does come back to risk profile, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of you, but also who you're surrounded by.
Yeah. And that's why I guess it's important. Get out of your own echo chamber of your mind and talk to trusted people. So I want to talk now about, this is a cool topic because last night I found myself looking online at electric stand-up desks. And
electric stand-up desks?
Yeah. So you can you don't have to
Levels.
Yeah, you can just set levels. So it's, I can stand at work.
Not for your feet, for your arms.
Yeah. So basically, I stand up and work.
And electric is in.
It rises itself. Yep. And then when I want to sit down, I press go down and it'll go back to the level where I was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm like, oh. And then Carly in my office, I said, oh, let's just investigate this. You know, we might buy a couple and, you know, because I'm employer of the year and all that stuff.
Yep.
So.
And sorry, what? Yeah. Why did you start looking at those?
Well, because it was Glenn late.
Has a lot of time and he's yeah. has no kids.
Clearly. Yeah, that's right. Because it was late.
We were changing nappies and doing baths and cooking dinner. No, yeah,
it was late.
Does. Amy does that.
Amy does all that.
Hi, Amy. She kind of listened to this.
Yeah, probably.
I reckon she will.
Yeah.
If I wasn't on it, she would.
Yeah. So it was late. I was online, which is a danger.
Because that's when you buy those little helicopter things.
Yeah, I've got my bubble copter at the office. Copter, yeah. That's right. So it's a remote control helicopter and it drops bubbles everywhere.
What did you do with the Abdul you bought?
Oh, we won't talk about that. And then I was thinking I'll buy one for Carly as well, you know, in the office. And then I was thinking, because I've got this really cool ergonomic chair at the office, right? It's Swedish. It's really cool. It's awesome. As an employee, if Carly, my employee, if I wasn't the awesome employer that I am, you listening, Carly?
Hi, Carly.
Yeah. How would an employee possibly approach their boss to say, hey, can you buy me a $1,000 desk?
Mm.
Like, does that happen?
Yeah, it's a good point. I actually went through this with Carly a few days ago.
You were talking to her about me behind my back.
I was, because okay. She requested a meeting with me and I said yes. So in any case, we were talking about earning money as the first step to wealth.
Yeah.
Right. We've all got to earn money in our life create some sort of wealth.
Yeah.
And then I told her about step two, which was a lot of people earn money, but secondly, they don't add value to their employer.
Right.
Right. So this is where that notion of, well, how can we add value to our employer or to our clients, if we're a business owner, to increase our revenue?
Right. So our revenue is, if I'm an employee, Glenn James the employee is like Glenn James Incorporated.
Yeah,
like correct. My own little business.
Yes.
Your own little brand.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So what would an employee have to... Like, I jokingly said once to Carly, your pay rise is effective when you are.
100%. 100%.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't say that to everybody. It's a bit rude.
No, lucky you're related to her.
Yeah, it's my cousin. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So you're an employee, Aaron.
Yep.
Of a prestigious law firm.
Yep.
In one of the largest capital cities in Australia, if not the largest, Sydney. You're a big shot lawyer. You know, you're one of the rainmakers there. If you
the Harvey Specter of the organization.
Harvey Specter, yes.
That's sexist. You can be the female lawyer in the show.
Oh, if I could think of her name, Jessica. Off the top, Jessica.
Yeah, not Rachel, Jess, the boss. So you're Jessica.
Jessica, what's her
last? Pearson.
Pearson.
Pearson Spector. That's Pearson. Yeah. Pearson. I actually watch Suits.
I do. I just had a total...
Yeah. The last two seasons were pretty bad, I thought. It just got a bit soap opera.
Yep. Bit dramatic.
Yeah, totally. Anyway.
Don't go on with that because I'm only up to season two.
Oh, really? Jeez. Welcome to 2011. I'm John.
So Mike hasn't even gone to jail yet, I'm assuming. Anyway.
Oh, no. This is horrific.
So, say I'm the Jessica Pearson.
Well, say you're Rachel, the employee.
Well, I'm the Rachel Zane. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want the $1,000 electric stand-up desk.
Right.
With the optional foot thing that's $175.
You know Tay's got a stand-up desk?
Really?
Mm. Wow. We should have got her as a guest.
Yeah, so we've got another friend who's a lawyer, Tay. She didn't write back to our text, but we're going to get her on the show to talk about...
Do I know Tay?
You probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk to her about before you shack up with somebody because she's in family law, what do you need to do, you know, before you...
To protect yourself.
Clean up the hell out of that thing.
Yeah. Although I'm going out on a limb here in saying that some people might not like a prenup. Suggested
Yeah, usually the person that's getting it suggested to them yeah, doesn't that's like right. it
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I've got two examples of that.
Really?
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about
it. How do you get around that?
We're going to talk. We'll hold that because we're running out of time.
Just quickly, John Cena apparently had a prenup with his girlfriend that said, if we break up, you've got to move out of my house within 6 days.
6 days?
Wow.
Apparently
wow.
6 weeks wow. later, brutal. She's still there.
Wow. Interesting.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm.
So how would you approach your employer to get the $1,000 stand-up desk?
I think you'd need to point out how effective you're going to become with the stand-up desk.
Yeah. I actually would go about it the other way. It's like, hey...
And point out why you're non-effective without it.
You got a sore back.
Well, it's like that as well. Hey, am I claim waiting to happen? No. No, like, I think I would be more like, hey... And you've got to, like, it's never a shakedown with your employer, but if you actually like working in a place and you can see yourself there long term, why wouldn't you approach your employer? Hey, I love working here, love what we're doing. I can see myself here for the long term. This item, whether it's a essentials oil diffuser that you want the boss to pay for or a $1,000 stand-up desk or whatever it is, would you consider coming to the party? If I commit to you guys for at least another 12 months or...
Yep.
I don't know, just because as an employer, if you've got a team of people, if someone's just kicking down the door and demanding a $1,000 stand-up desk, it's a little
without
bit different.
Without any benefit to them.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's a little different. Or say something like, hey, what about we do it and then I'll give you 12 months, but if the circumstances change for whatever reason, I'll pay back half or I don't know, like... That's just what I was thinking on the issue.
Hmm. Yeah, it's potentially a can of worms for the employer because now Glenn's got one, why haven't I got one?
Yeah, and that's a precedent thing as well. So I guess...
When you've only got a staff of one, then it's easier.
Yeah, that's
and she's
true.
Your cousin.
Yeah.
She's your cousin.
However, I think it's good to discuss these things, guys. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just been crucified over here. Get off this timber cross. All right. Am I crazy?
Do you want us to answer that?
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if I'm crazy or if it's just me. So I drove home the other day, parked the car, went inside, did some stuff, walked around to the cafe, got a coffee, came back, that's all good, went to go out, jumped in the car, pressed the start thing, and the car didn't start. It said, key missing. I'm like, that's weird. I've never lose my key. And I was thinking, oh, that's weird. So I didn't think of anything of it. I had to go, so I went and grabbed a spare key. Anyway, I'm thinking, because I've got this habit of not locking my house, and like when I went overseas to China, I forgot to lock my house when I went overseas and then I got robbed. Which
insurance
is cool.
Claim still got through okay?
Oh, yeah, got the cash. Yeah. Actually worked out better. Thanks for robbing me. And so I'm thinking, am I crazy? Like, did someone, while I was out, because I leave the garage up even, did someone walk in, steal my car key so they can come back and steal my car another time?
Or get into your house.
And get into your house.
Yeah.
You never found it.
No. I asked the cafe, oh, did it fall out of my pocket? Am I crazy to think that? Or did I accidentally throw it out with some rubbish or something?
Yeah.
And because you know I'm a stand-up citizen and I've got my life in order, clearly, and I just
and
don't lose
and you wouldn't just
things.
Misplace something.
Totally.
Unintentionally.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, I think you're crazy for not locking your house.
Okay, so that's a partial crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you're crazy for thinking that.
Right.
I think that's a very legitimate thought.
Mm. It's so weird. It's like so bad. But anyway, so so John, you're voting half crazy?
Half to three quarters, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're not rounding up, are we?
I'm going to say definitely not crazy.
Yes.
That's, agree with John, though. Crazy for not locking your house.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to
but
China.
I just want to feel that I live in this community where it's safe. And I
but
can...
I think you need to be a realist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just not society these days.
Not, no. And I grew up in the country of a town of 200 people and out on the farm where we never locked anything, cars, houses, the whole works, and still to that day, or this day, I don't think anyone locks down there. So there's that happy-go-lucky attitude that still exists there, but I know...
Which I've clearly got.
Yeah, I think
I think it's a bit misplaced.
Yeah.
Don't leave.
Am I naive?
A little.
Thank you. Yeah. And
and it takes one incident to change that, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. But, like, he's had that incident.
I think he should have learned from that.
Yeah.
So he is definitely. Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Just wrapping up, Royal Wedding was just on the weekend. Do you guys follow?
It's on this weekend.
Aaron.
It's not on.
This is going to be launched next week.
How can we talk about something that has...
Well, it's showbiz. Showbiz. Okay, everyone.
Oh, my God, the dress, Aaron, amazing.
Yeah. Aaron spoiled it because this is, like, getting launched. And I didn't tell her about that.
You need to tell me this stuff before you just stick headphones on me and put me in front of a microphone.
Fine.
And eat cake.
So, you excited? I saw on Facebook that you clicked interested in going to the cinema to watch it.
So excited.
Are you going to do that?
Maybe.
Right. What's with eating while you're talking?
I'm trying to do a professional podcast.
I didn't try and
talk at the same time, but
serious questions. Do you think she loves him?
I don't know. So if you listen to the members of her extended crazy family, I'm going to say no.
Really?
Haven't you heard all this stuff about her half sister and brother? And
oh no,
they're nuts.
I haven't really.
Mm.
Well, my take on it is there's hope for the rangers out there.
Really? Are you a ranger?
Definitely not.
Right, okay.
Right.
Are you though?
Maybe a little bit.
I think there's a little bit in there. Yeah. I'm really worried for them. I'm concerned that...
For their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want her to drag him into that Hollywood life.
I don't think she's allowed to though, is she?
Well, that's it. Like,
isn't it just like clean cut that all gets left behind? Well,
new life. Yeah. Their father apparently didn't walk his daughter down the aisle. Was that correct?
What, the other daughter?
No, this daughter.
No.
Oh, Megan. Sorry. Are we talking in post tense?
Well, we're trying.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
How bad? And I guess I'm just to our listeners and the two people that are still listening. Because this is the first episode, I had to have a buffer for Apple to approve it. So, anyway. So, he didn't... So, there's talk of him not doing it.
So, he said he's not going to.
Really?
Because he keeps staging paparazzi shots of himself reading, like, England 101 books and...
Really?
...crazy things. And he doesn't want to drag her into all of his...
Wow.
...craziness.
Wow. Very interesting.
Different sides of the tracks.
Totally. Well, we'll leave it there. But if you want to learn more about us, head to www.mymillennialmoney.com. And hey, if you want to ask a question, that there's so much collective wisdom in this room.
So much.
I mean, this is great. So jump on there, submit any questions. We'll have a chat. We've got some cool guests coming up. We've got a vet coming up who's going to talk about designer dog breeds. We're going to get Tay the lawyer who does family law. We've got some cool other people coming up that I've told them they'll be on here, but they actually haven't confirmed yet. But we'll get them going. And thanks for listening, and we're good to go. I'm done. Are you guys done?
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. We'll see you guys next week. We're only here to make you. We're only here to make you.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Get Up Approach Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.